الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him for everything that He has bestowed upon us. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his family members without exception. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all his companions without exception. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless every one of you without exception. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the entire ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless humanity at large. Ameen. My beloved brothers and sisters in this beautiful masjid, Masjidul Furqan, in the beautiful city of Kano, in the beautiful country of Nigeria, in the beautiful continent of Africa. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making this day possible. Indeed, in my heart, I did not know that it was going to happen so soon, but I think it is the dua of one and all. May Allah gather us in Jannah as well. My brothers and sisters, indeed, I am overjoyed to be sitting here in front of you, and I have a very big responsibility on my shoulders to convey a message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a message of Islam, a message of hope, a message of goodness, a message of kindness, and a message of peace to you all and to the Muslim Ummah. My brothers and sisters, indeed, the first duty that you and I have is to worship Allah alone. You know that. The difference between a mu'min and that who is not a mu'min is that we believe in Allah alone. We worship Allah alone. We do not worship any deity besides Allah, and we do not worship deities with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people worship Allah, but together with Allah, they also worship other deities. Some people worship money, some people worship position, some people worship other people, some people worship graves and stones and sticks and trees. Some people, they worship any other deities they consider as God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in La ilaha illallah. We believe there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the advice that the prophets have all given from the beginning, from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, coming down all the way to Abraham, may peace be upon him, Moses, may peace be upon him, Aaron, may peace be upon him. All the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they delivered one message. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. Indeed, we have sent in every nation a messenger who has come to say, worship Allah alone and be scared of all, stay away from الطَّاغُوتَ, that which is besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being worshipped. Everything that is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed included in this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. The second issue that I would like to remind you, my brothers and sisters, while we all want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a way to worship Allah. If I want to worship Allah, I cannot just bring my hand and start waving at the sky and say I'm worshipping Allah. I cannot do that. I am foolish, because I cannot decide how Allah wants to be worshipped. Allah will decide how He wants to be worshipped. Let us remember this. So do not come with acts of worship from your own pocket. Do not come with acts of worship that are not taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything you want to do, ask yourself, did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this? If he did it, do it. If he didn't, stay away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Who is the best of creation? Who is the best of creation? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was sent to us as the final Nabi of Allah in order to teach us what Allah wants from us, in order to teach us the way of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like. So he came, he taught us as-salah, he taught us az-zakah, he taught us Sawm Ramadan, he taught us the other siyam, he taught us about hajj, he taught us about umrah, he taught us about halal, he taught us about haram, he taught us about everything, so much so that the sahaba radiallahu anhum say, ma taraka rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khayran إلا ودلنا عليه ولا شرا إلا حذرنا منه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has not left a single point of goodness except that he reminded us about it. He reminded us about all good deeds. Everything that is there which is good to be done, he reminded us. And all the evil he warned us against. So don't think that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot something. He is known as a Rasul. At the time of Hajjatul Wada', he asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Hal ballagtu? Have I conveyed the message? They said, yes. He said, Allahumma fashhad, oh Allah, bear witness, I have conveyed the message. And Allah says, Ya ayyuha ar-rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. O messenger, convey in the most highest form, convey in the highest form of conveyance, the message from your Rabb, that which was revealed to you, convey it to the people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him, and indeed he has conveyed it. The third point that I want to remind you about is, my brothers and sisters, we need to develop good akhlaq, character and conduct. How you speak to people in your family, how you speak to your wife, how you speak to your children, how you speak to your parents, how you speak to your relatives and family members, how you speak to those whom you work with and those whom you interact with on a daily basis, whether they are Muslim or not Muslim, how you behave, your behavior and my behavior, every one of us, we need to improve. Wallahi, this is a serious matter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, those people who will enter Jannah, they will enter with two qualities. One of two qualities or both of these qualities. The two qualities are taqwa Allahi wa husnul khuluqi. A person, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions, they asked, O Messenger, which are the qualities that the people of Jannah will be granted entry into Jannah through them? Which means, which are the qualities that they will have in their lives so that they will be given Jannah? If you take a look at all the people of Jannah and you bring them and you want to see what did they have in their lives which made them earn Jannah, you will find two things. The consciousness of Allah, known as taqwa. Taqwa, some people they say piety, some people they say fear of Allah, some people they say consciousness of Allah. I prefer the word consciousness of Allah. You are conscious of Allah. You feel inside you that Allah is watching you all the time. That is consciousness of Allah. Those who develop that taqwa, they are the ones who will achieve Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah make us from among those who are in Jannah. Those who develop their character and conduct, known as husnul khuluqi. Husnul khuluqi, they are the ones who will be earning Jannah. Your character, your behavior, how you treat people. Why? Why is it so important how you treat people? Can I explain why? The reason is, they are all the creatures of Allah, just like you are the creature of Allah. I am part of your family. How? Allah made me, Allah made you. So I treat you like you are a member of my family with respect, even though I might be different from you in some aspects. When we see the kuffar, my brothers and sisters, those who are not Muslims, when we see them in our hearts, we should feel that this person is a potential Muslim. Inshallah, tomorrow they will accept Islam. That is how we should feel. That is how we should think in our hearts, that they are potential Muslims, because all of us, myself included, maybe our forefathers, maybe earlier than that, somewhere in the generations, they were not Muslims. Someone taught them Islam, someone came to them and gave them a good deen, someone came to them and was kind to them, someone was behaving very well, either they did a business deal which was really a good business deal, honesty, integrity, that which was balanced, that which was completely trustworthy. And this is when our forefathers learned that this is the deen we want to enter. So today we are Muslimin, alhamdulillah. But if we treat the non-Muslims like these people are just enemies of Islam, not all of them are enemies of Islam, wallahi, majority of them, they want the goodness. They want to share the goodness. They want you to teach them. But many people, when you tell them, come to me, sit down, I want to teach you about Islam, they will say, I don't want to know about Islam. Because you know the media is projecting a very bad image of Islam, because some few people, they are spoiling the name of Islam. They think Islam is all about killing and fighting and spilling the blood. Islam is not about destruction. Islam is not about killing. It is not about fighting or spilling blood. It is a good message of justice. That's what it is. It is a message of tolerance. It is a message of peace. So when you tell people, come, I want to teach you Islam, they will refuse. But when you don't tell them that, but you go to the shop, to the store, to the market, to the school, to your workplace, anywhere you are traveling, you look at the people, you greet them nicely, you are behaved well, you want to help people, you want to reach out to them, in their heart, automatically they will say, Subhanallah, this person, they are Muslim. What I am hearing is wrong. Automatically they know it. Why? Because you are behaving so well. That is called husnul khuluqi. That is your ticket to Jannah. The Prophet said, Taqwallahi wa husnul khuluqi. Those are the two main tickets to Jannah. You want a ticket to Jannah? Learn how to behave yourself. Learn how to develop your character. Stop uttering bad words. Learn how to say good words to your children. Many of us, we have children. We have no time for those children. We did not say any good words. Many of us, we have wives. We don't look at our wives. When you look at your wife, you are allowed to say, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. The problem is, when we look at strange women, we say, MashaAllah. But you look at your wife, sometimes you say, A'udhu Billah. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, God. That is why we are failing. That is why we are dropping down. Because what is halal, we are not appreciating. What is haram, we want it. How can we do that? Learn to say Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah. You know, there were some people, they were moving fast. So when there are women, you are not allowed to look. But your first gaze, the hadith says, you look and look down quickly. You know, don't waste your time. So there were three people. The first man, he's looking. And he said, hey, MashaAllah. So he's telling the other people, MashaAllah. So the other one, he looked and he said, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah meaning, what are you doing? You are telling me. So the third one, he was a sheikh. He knows a sheikh. He looked, he said, Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, God. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. At least he is thinking of halal. At least he is thinking of halal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. The point I'm raising is, we need good character. Respect the opposite sex. Even the sisters, respect the opposite sex. But the problem lies more with the brothers. Respect the opposite sex. It is your daughter, your sister, your mother, your aunt. Remember, if you abuse the opposite sex, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Allah knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that retribution that is required and needed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So once we behave, people see that we are behaving, we are away from the nightclub, we are away from the drugs, your life automatically will improve. Many people, they have money, but that money, they waste it on drugs, they waste it on alcohol, they waste it on the club, they waste it on women, or they waste it on anything that is to do with wrong, like gambling, for example. Then they complain, Wallahi, I'm poor, I don't have any money. Your children are suffering not because Allah did not give you. Allah gave you, but you are using it in the wrong way. إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقُ بِالذَّنْبِ يُصِيبُهُ. A man sometimes is prohibited rizq and sustenance because he is committing a sin. Many people who say, I don't have money, ask yourself, am I committing a sin? If you are, that is where your money is going. That is where your money is going. Stop it and you will save money. Wallahi, I have come all the way from Zimbabwe. And after that, I was in the Philippines. I have flown from the Philippines for 1.5 days, flying, in order to come to you here in Kano. In Kano, not even in Lagos or in Abuja. Here in Kano, in order to give you a serious message, my brothers and sisters, it is time to change your life. It is time to change your life, to be good, to learn to fulfill the duty to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you going to gain by committing sins? What are you going to gain by transgressing against Allah? What are you going to gain by being unkind in your own house, to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your family members? What are you going to gain? You are not going to gain anything. You are going to live for a few years. When you die, the people will say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you took him away, I'm now happy. You don't want that. When you die, people must say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They must cry. You know, there is a poem, I will say it in English. It goes as follows. O son of Adam, when you were born, you came to this world crying. And those around you were smiling in happiness. When you were born, You came to the world, each one of us is busy crying. As a baby, as you are born, first thing you make a noise. What is the noise? Of crying. And we are taught that the first sound you must hear is the sound of Adhan. Anyway, so the couplet continues to state, live your life in such a way that when you die, you will die smiling and those around you will be crying at the loss. Why is it we live our lives in such a way, before we die, people are getting up for salat to Tahajjud, oh Allah, that man is a problem, take him away. Oh Allah, this person is a problem, this grandmother is a problem. How can we start to do dua like that? But more than that, why should we lead our lives in a way that people curse us, people don't like us? Behave, my brothers and sisters, the message is for myself and yourself. I am included in the same message. May Allah grant me goodness, good character and good conduct. My brothers and sisters, so if we look at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, we will come across many incidents where he was very, very high upon character and conduct. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are upon the highest level, a very great level of character and conduct. Al-Khuluq. When Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how was his character? How was his conduct? How was his behavior? She said, Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. One word. His character, his behavior was the Quran. Exactly what the Quran is. Look at the Quran. No swear word in the Quran. No swear word. No abusive language. No vulgar language. No dirty, bad language in the Quran. How many of us, we say good words only? How many of us, we swear and we say I'm a Muslim? How many of us, we lie and we say I'm a Muslim? How many of us, we cheat and steal and deceive and we say I'm a Muslim? How can we do that? If we are a Muslim, al-Islam means to submit, surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submit to Allah. You will find the blossoming and the blooming in your dunya, in your life, and in this world as well as in the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us every success. So if you look at the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is full of guidance. It has in it a lot of guidance, full of guidance. And it leads us to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifestyle. The Quran leads us to the Sunnah. There are people today, they say, look, I will only accept the Quran. Sunnah, I don't accept, I reject. Be careful, be careful. If you read the Quran, Allah says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. That which the messenger has instructed you, consider it as an instruction. That which the messenger has given you, take it. That which he has prohibited you from, consider it prohibited. What is Allah speaking about? All the instructions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire life, whatever he said, Allah says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not utter from his whims and fancies. He does not speak from his desires. Indeed, it is only but revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, treat the sunnah as sacred. Treat the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as sacred. And be careful of those who come to you and tell you, I am only adopting the Quran and not the sunnah. They are known as Quraniyun. They are known as Quraniyun. They believe in La ilaha illallah, they do not believe in Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be careful, be warned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us very clearly in the Quran to follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the one who brought the Quran. How can you take the Quran but you leave everything which he is saying? He is the one who gave you. So the people are foolish. They say, I will take the Quran but I don't believe in the Sunnah. So ask them, who brought you the Quran? They have to keep quiet. Because Jibreel did not come to them, alayhi salam, did not come to them. Jibreel came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can you be foolish? You are saying that I am acknowledging this man is the one who got presidency, but I don't want to, but whatever he is saying is not valid. What are you talking about? You are acknowledging he is the leader and you don't want to accept what he is saying. So you are acknowledging that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger because he brought the Quran, but when he is explaining the Quran, you don't want to take that explanation. You want your own explanation. Then we have another group of people we need to be careful about. They don't believe in jama'ah. What is meant by jama'ah? Jama'ah means the group of sahaba radiallahu anhum. All of the sahaba radiallahu anhum, we must believe and accept and understand. If they have had issues among themselves, we learn a lesson from the issues, but we do not hold anything against any one of them. Allah wanted us to learn a lesson. Remember this. Whenever you hear the name of any sahabi, it is your responsibility and your duty to say radiallahu anhu after that. It is your responsibility and your duty to say radiallahu anhu after that. Be very careful of people who are cursing sahaba radiallahu anhu. By doing that, they want to delete the deen of Allah. They want to remove the deen. Who brought the deen to you? The sahaba radiallahu anhu. If all of them were bad people, how did the deen come to us? Why would Allah choose people who are bad to be the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Those who participated in the battle of Badr, how can they become hypocrites when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالْ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَإِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. He says, how do you know, perhaps Allah has looked at the hearts of those who participated in the battle of Badr and he said, do as you please, I have forgiven you. Allah forgave them. They were powerful companions. Allah chose them. First, Allah looked in the hearts of mankind and Allah chose the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The soul was chosen to be the best of creation. Then Allah looked again, the Anbiya, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after that, the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were chosen. They were selected. We believe the best of all those to tread this earth after the Prophet was a man known as Abdullah ibn Uthman radiallahu anhu. Who was Abdullah ibn Uthman? Many of you might be surprised to hear the name. Am I right? You are surprised. The reason is we have not gone into the lives of these superheroes and superstars. If I were to ask you who is the best person after the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please can someone give me an answer? Say his name. You are saying Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and I am saying Abdullah ibn Uthman radiallahu anhu. That is the same person, my brothers and sisters. That is his real name. His proper name is Abdullah ibn Uthman. So Abdullah ibn Uthman, you need to know his name. The Prophet says, أَحَبُّ الْأَسْمَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَانِ. The most loved of names unto Allah is Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. Abu Bakr was only a pen name, radiallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala anhu, wa an sa'ir al-sahaba. But his name was Abdullah. His father was known as Abu Quhafa. Abu Quhafa, his name was Uthman. So sometimes you have a name, your name is Abdullah, and they call you Abu Maryam, right? Sometimes they call you Abu Fulan, and people are known as Abu Maryam. Who is here? Abu Maryam is here. But you will never know his real name because only people call him Abu Bakr. Wait until you get to the immigration control and they ask you for your passport. Immigration, if he knows you, he will say, whose passport is this? You are Abu Maryam. Here it is not written Abu Maryam. Why? He does not have knowledge. So my brothers and sisters, the reason why I decided to say his proper name is to show you that we all need to do more to learn the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. They sacrificed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdullah ibn Uthman, Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafah radiallahu anhu, know his name, know his family, know if his daughter was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her name was Aisha binti Abu Bakr or Binti Abdullah. Yes, now we are speaking. Now we are speaking, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us deep knowledge. May Allah open our doors. Even if you take one point today home, we have succeeded. Alhamdulillah. So the best of those to tread this earth after the Prophet ﷺ was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Uthman radiallahu anhu. Also, what we need to know is the people who are cursing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their aim is to delete the deen, because all the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was recorded by those people. If we curse them, we can just delete all the hadith. We don't believe in hadith. So it's a quick way of taking your religion away from you. If I ask you one question, what is the most valuable thing you and I have? Wallahi, it is iman. Wallahi, it is our belief. We believe in Allah alone. We believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to die with shahada. We want to die with ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And you know what? That is the statement that is more powerful than anything else in existence. So, remember, shaitan will come to you to take your deen away from you. Your deen away from you. By doing what? Making you believe that those who were better than you were worse than you. Some religions, they are based on curse. Islam is not based on curse. It is based on praise and goodness. Look at the Quran. Allah says in the beginning, Surah Al-Fatiha, which we repeat many times in the day. Many times in the day we repeat Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the world. After that, what did he say? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Most forgiving, most merciful, most merciful. Two different types of mercy. One is common and one is special. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. The Rahim is a mercy which is specially for those who believe. And Ar-Rahman is a more common mercy for everything. Do you know all the mercy that you see on earth is only one segment from another 99 segments that Allah has kept by Him? On the Day of Judgment, Allah's mercy will dictate that those who have shahada and have not worshipped God besides Allah, they have not engaged in sins, Allah will forgive them. So let us understand this. Let us know this. It is an important message, my brothers and sisters. Remember, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they struggled, they fought, they gave their lives. Look at Hamza radiallahu anhu. Look at so many of the other companions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They gave their lives. For what reason? So that the deen can come to you here in Kanu. They passed away in Makkah and in Medina. So that the deen can continue, so that it came to you and to me here in Africa. Subhanallah. Why can we not say, radiallahu anhu, for every one of them? Yes, if there were small troubles that some of them might have had, the lesson for us to learn is, don't fight amongst yourselves. Allah says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Do not dispute amongst yourselves. Be careful. Watch out. If you have problems, sit with each other once, twice, 20 times, 200 times. Sort your problems out. Sort your problems out. Do not fight. Do not dispute amongst one another. Why? فَتَفْشَلُوا. Because you will be unsuccessful. You will fail. Your city is so beautiful. It is known as the seat of Islam. It has a rich history of Islam and beauty. And it has history of richness, of wealth. It has history of peace and stability. We want it to get back to where it was and even better. But we need to know the message that we have been following from the time our forefathers have entered the fold of Islam. When they had problems, they did not just kill each other. They sat with each other. They spoke to each other. They gave and took with each other and from each other. We need to understand, my brothers and sisters, I am concerned about your well-being and the well-being of your nation. In order to build it, wallahi, my brothers and sisters, learn to respect one another. Where you have disputes, go and look what happened at the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and thereafter. Any of those battles which happened inside the Muslims, did it help them? No, it did not. It took us back by so many years. So if you have a problem with someone, don't think in your mind, let me kill him. Think in your mind, that is my brother. Let me sit with him and talk to him. Let me sit and explain my position. Maybe he will explain his position. Maybe I will understand what he is saying. Go in with an open heart. The problem, we have become stubborn. We have become arrogant. We think we are the only ones who are right. We think this is the only interpretation. If someone does not do it this way, khalas, they are kafirin and they will go into Jahannam. My brothers and sisters, Allah has kept one whole day, which is very, very long. It is worth 500,000 years of this dunya. in order to judge the people. Why are we already sending people to Jannah and Jahannam? We still are alive, we are breathing. Let us talk to one another. Let us give each other a good message. So I have this message and I will close with it. I have spoken for 30 minutes and I think, my brothers and sisters, my message is loud and clear. We have a mission. What is the mission? To spread peace, to spread goodness, to be able to talk to those whom we differ with. Talk to them. You must speak to them. You might not solve the problem today, but you sowed the seed of peace because you taught your children that if you have a problem, you must deal with it like a human being. You must talk to the people. Look at Habil and Qabil, Abel and Cain, from the time of Adam alayhi salam. They were jealous of one another. The one tells the other, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, I'm going to kill you. Straight away. Allah says, as a result, he suffered. He was مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ مِنَ الْخَافِرِينَ. He was from the losers, from those who regret, because he resorted to killing. This is something we are not taught, my brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters. When we have issues, we will sit and communicate. We will talk. We will try again and again. We will go back and we will try. We will not give up. But we will not resort to killing each other. We will not resort to that which will result in destruction. Destruction of whom? Of us, our infrastructure, our children, our nation. People are laughing at us outside. They say this nation is so big. It is so powerful. But there are troublemakers inside who are resulting in the destruction of the entire nation. Is that what you want? Wallahi, we need to build. We don't need to destroy. We need to love. We don't need to hate each other. We need to respect one another. I am here because I have a message for you. That's how I started the talk. I said, my brothers and sisters in Kano, I have a message for you. This is part of my message. And inshallah, I wish to continue at another stage. If Allah gives us the opportunity and the life, then we will meet again. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdi. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. JazakAllah khairan, Muslimin, for this message. And now I will call on Professor Salim Shehu to give in 5 minutes a summary of the message, and then a summary of the message in Hausa, and then we'll pray inshallah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. يا إخوة ونا سكتة ونا سكوت كمنتي ديرو ينا دوحالا كريم كتير أما زني يابو كرينا لغنا إستردا ساقوندا ونا مالمينا من Sheikh Ismail, Mufti Ismail Musamin Ya Gabatar, the Sabani Masumi Himanchi, Kamarata, the Purpuri, Yaya Abdu Aga Elwa Muslimi, Maza, the Mata, the Mukataro, Awana Masalachi, Eche Wana Masalachi, Megonin Kel, Atikin Wana Galina, Megonin Kel, the Albarka, Yazumana, the Sabu, Mimidin Manchi, Sabuana Purpu. Ya tabbatar wa cewa ya zo mana da sako na zaman lafiya. Kamar yadda muka sani, babu abin da ke karanta da zaman lafiya irin musulunci. Sannan kuma daga nan sai ya fara wato zayyana waɗannan sakonni da ya zo mana da su. Sako na farko ya ce sako na inganta imani da Allah da kuma tabbatar da tauhidi. Wannan shi ne karantarwa ta musulunci ta farko. Kuma wannan shi ne ainihin abin da dukkan manzanni suka zo da shi. Ya kawo ayan nan cikin suratul Nahl, wa laqad ba'athna fi kulli ummatin rasulan an i'budu Allah wa ijtanibu at-taghut. Sako na biyu yace shi ne bautar Allah da kadaita shi a cikin bauta ba a kan san rai ake yi ba. Akwai hanyar da za a bauta wa Allah, ita kuma wannan hanya ta bautar Allah hanya ɗaya ce. Ita ce hanyar da manzon Allah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wa sallam ya zo mana da ita, kuma ya karantar da mu. Ya kawo nassosi daga hadisi da kuma ayoyin Al-Qur'ani mai girma, kamar wato cewar sahabbai da suke cewa manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam bai bar wani alkhairi ba sai da ya karantar da mu, haka kuma bai bar wani sharri ba sai da ya wato mana kashe gaburin wannan sharri din.
yama ya tsawatar gaburin wannan sharidin ya razanar da mu. Sannan sako na uku shi ne wajabtun kyautata halayenmu da ɗabi'unmu. Ya ce wannan al'amari ne mai muhimmanci, kuma mu sani da kyan ɗabi'a da kyan hali ake shiga aljanna. Ya ce abubuwa guda biyu ne manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ce ake shiga aljanna da su, su ne tsoron Allah da kuma wato ainihin misali kyan hali da wato halaye na nagarta. Don haka ya ce wato ainihin misali wajibi ne mu kyautata mu'amala ga junanmu, mu kyautata mu'amala ga dukkan halittun Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Mu sani dukkan halittun Allah kamar yadda muke halittu na Allah, haka kowane kowace halitta da muka gani halitta ce ta Allah, kuma tana da alfarma da Allah yi mata, hatta wanda suke ba musulmi ba wajibi ne mu kyautata mu'amala wato ainihin misali zuwa gare su. Mai yiwuwa wanda suke ba musulmi ba da watakila kake kyautata masa mu'amala baka sani ba ta yiwu a gobe musulmi ne, don haka kar ka rinka kyautata wato abin nan mu'amala ko ka rinka munanta mu'amala ga waɗanda suke ba musulmi ba. Sannan ya ce hakikatan waɗansu daga cikinmu suna ayyuka na ɓarna wanda wannan ya sa ake ƙyamar musulunci, kuma kafafen yaɗa labarai suke ribatar wannan ɓarnar da mabarata suke yi a cikinmu, masu kasa-kasan da ba gaira ba dalili, masu zubar da jinin mutane waɗanda suke ba su ji ba ba su gani ba. Ya ce wannan ayyuka na ɓarna kafafen yaɗa labarai suna ribatar wannan ayyuka na ɓarna, suna ƙara sanya ƙyamar musulunci a zukatan mutane a duniya. Don haka babu abin da zai bamu nasara a kan irin wannan abubuwa sai kyautata halayenmu da kuma kyautata mu'amala. Sannan ya ce ya jama'ar musulmi, lallai na taho daga wuri mai nisa, na tashi daga ƙasar Zimbabwe, daga nan ya ce ya tafi ƙasar Philippines, ya yi tafiya tsawon abin nan wato kwana ɗaya da rabi don ya taho Kano don ya zo ya gabatar mana da saƙo mai muhimmanci. Mu sani ya ɗauko wannan doguwar tafiya ce kamar yadda ya faɗa, ya ɗauko wannan doguwar hanya ce ba don komai ba sai don ya zo ya gabatar mana da saƙo mai muhimmanci. Wannan saƙo mai muhimmanci kuwa shi ne cewa lallai ilallah mu canza rayuwarmu mu kuma canza halayenmu mu inganta halayenmu. Wannan saƙo ne mai muhimmanci, kuma yace takanas ya taso yayyo wannan doguwar tafiya don izo i gabatar mana da wannan saƙo na wajibcin kyautata wato halayenmu da inganta halayenmu. Sannan yace muna da kyakkyawar misali shi ne manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kamar yadda Allah ya yi masa yabo na ƙarshe ba iyakar yabo a Alƙur'ani mai girma, wa innaka ala khuluqin azim. Sannan Aisha radiyallahu anha na Aisha ta ce ɗabi'un manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kawai Ƙur'ani ne a aikace. Sannan ya ce mu kiyayi waɗansu abubuwa kamar haka. Na farko mu kiyayi ɗan Ƙur'aniyun waɗanda suke cewa a yi riƙo da Alƙur'ani mai girma. Ya ce babu wautar da ta wuce kamar mutum ya ce kawai shi Ƙur'ani kawai zai riƙo da shi, ba ruwansa da manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ce wata irin wauta ce manzon Allah mai shi ita hoda Ƙur'anin nan, ka ce kai kana da ruwa da tsarki da Ƙur'ani amma ba ruwanka da manzon Allah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Ya ce in muka duba shi kanshi Ƙur'ani yana shiryarwa zuwa ga sunnan manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, domin Allah ya ce wa ma atakumur rasulu fakhudhuhu wa ma nahakum anhu fantahu. Sannan ya ce mu kiyayi masu ƙin sahabban manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mu sani san sahabban manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wajibi ne, kuma hakikatan masu la'antar sahabban manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wato manufarsu ita ce su rusa musulunci, domin ƙiyayya ga sahabban manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam haƙiƙa tasirinsa shi ne rusa musulunci gaba ɗaya, domin musuluncin nan bai zo mana ba sai ta hanyar su. Yace su ne suka sadaukar da rayuwarsu, suka sadaukar da dukiyoyinsu, suka sadaukar da komai nasu, suka rungumi Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala domin saƙon manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ya iso mana har Kano, kuma ya isa dukkan sassa na duniya da saƙo-saƙo na duniya. Da haka wajibi ne mu girmama sahabban manzon Allah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Yace yaya za a ce manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam manzon da yafi kowa shugaban manzanni, amma kuma Allah ya zaba masa sahabbai waɗanda suke munafukai? Wannan yana iya hankaltuwa? yace ba zai hankaltu ba, ya kawo asari na Abdullahi bin Mas'ud cewa Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ya duba zukatan bayi gaba daya, yaga babu zuciyar da ta fi karfi kamar zuciyar manzon Allah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa sallam. Sannan ya duba zukatan ba halittu gaba daya, yaga babu waɗanda zukatan su suka fi karfi kamar waɗannan sahabbai na manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, dan haka ya zabe su a matsayin sahabban manzon Allah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa sallam. Yace dan haka in sahabban manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam wato rufa hadisin hadisan manzon Allah ne sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, domin ta hanyar su hadisan manzon Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam suka zo mana. Sannan a ƙarshe yace mu kiyayi rarrabuwar kai, mu kiyayi rarrabuwar kai, mu sani rarrabuwar kai na kawo rauni, yana raunana kanmu kuma yana rusa mu. Hakikatan in muka ci gaba da rarrabuwa da sabani, to lallai za mu ci gaba da lalacewa da tarwatsewa. Ya kawo aya alqur'ani mai girma, wala tanaza'u fatafshalu wa tadhhab rihukum, da sauransu. Dan haka mu kiyayi kyamar juna, mu kiyayi hantarar juna, mu kiyayi wato ainihin misali kautata mu'amala da juna. Yace hakikatan ya jama'ar musulmi, ina kishin wannan gari naku, ina kishin wannan gari naku mai albarka, ina kishin wannan gari naku mai tarihin addini, ina kishin wannan gari naku mai tarihin ilimi, ina kishin wannan gari naku mai tarihin arziki. Dan haka ku kiyayi abin da zai kawo rauni gare ku, ku kiyaye alfarman wannan gari naku mai alfarma da Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ya nufa irin waɗannan alfarmomi. Mu kiyaye ta hanyar kiyaye wato misali ta nasarar addini, mu guji ayyukan barna da waɗansu suke yi waɗanda za su kawo mana rusa al'umma da rusa rayuwarmu da rusa addininmu. Wato wannan kamar yadda kullum muke faɗa cewa a Afirka baƙar fata musulunci da musulmi ba su da gari, ba su da birni da ikai birnin Kano, tarin jama'ar musulmi kamar birnin Kano, tarin malamai masu ilimi kamar birnin Kano, tarin masu arziki musulmi kamar birnin Kano, tarin matasa irin yadda kuka taru a masallacin nan kamar birnin Kano. Babu kamar wanda haka yake, yana cikin wannan gari namu mai albarka na Kano. Wannan shi ne sakonsa na ƙarshe. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah wa subhanaka allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alim wa shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
situation where there are two brothers or two sisters or more, they are in conflict, having misunderstanding, but one party seeks reconciliation and mutual forgiveness, and the other party is not interested in that reconciliation or peace, what should be done? I think we need to bear in mind two things. One is, when we do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be patient. If there is some reconciliation or forgiveness, you need to keep on trying to ask it once or twice. Have a soft heart. Allah wants to watch you to see how long you are going to strive for. Number one. Number two is, regarding the other party, maybe you can involve a third party who is respected by that second party, so that they can speak to them and communicate with them, to explain to them that, you know, I think it is in the best of your interest to forgive this person or to reconcile. The third thing is, sometimes a lecture of this nature, it can soften the heart. So don't lose hope totally, because if the second party one day happens to sit and listen to a lecture where they are told to soften the heart, they might soften the heart. Another interesting point is, if you leave your matters for the day of judgment, who knows? The one who thinks he is right might be wrong, and the one who thinks he is wrong might be right. So don't leave it for day of judgment. It is better to sort out your matter here, and Allah will have mercy on you. Also, what is a very great point of interest, when we forgive one another, Allah will forgive us. When you have a problem with someone and you forgive each other, you don't need to become best friends, but you just need to be people who are no longer enemies. So maybe I don't want to sit too much in their company, I don't want to be their friend, I don't want to perhaps interact or do business with them anymore, but I forgave them, they forgave me, and I will greet salam alaykum salam, and I walk away, they walk away. There is no enmity and there is no deep friendship. That is also okay as a last resort. May Allah have mercy on us. The last question, or the second question, and we don't really have time for more, but I've asked the brothers or sisters to write their email addresses. If I get a chance, I might send you an email. It says here, if Islam preaches peace, why did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam go to war? That is a very good question. Because he was driven out of Mecca, and his properties were stolen, and his companions were literally driven out of their own homeland. So if, for example, the colonialist came and he drove the people out of their homes and homeland, what did we see? We saw a war in order to achieve peace. That's what we saw. So the Prophet ﷺ did not destroy, he was not destructive, he was not a killer, he did not do that, but he fought in order to get back the dignity and the honor that they had initially. When he had the power in Medina, then Allah instructed him to go back and to get what was taken from the Muhajirin. Who are the Muhajirin? The Muhajirin were the people of Mecca. Where were they from? They were wealthy. Some of them were wealthy. All their property was left behind in Mecca. It was stolen by the people of Mecca. So Allah says, you can go back to get your property now. Those are like the wars of independence, when your country fought for independence from the colonialists. That war was justified. But we are talking of that which is unjust for no reason. If you want to know why Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to war, well, he went to war for those reasons and a few other reasons. They were all legitimate. But today, there are people sporadically killing others randomly. They don't even know who they are. They just kill them randomly, and they are killing those who say the Shahada. They kill people who say Islam. They kill non-Muslims, yet those non-Muslims are not actually enemies of Islam. There is a very, very big difference. You need to know this. There are some who are not enemies of Islam. Those are the majority. They are just non-Muslims, and they happen to live in your country. They follow a different faith. They don't trample your toes. They fulfill your rights and you fulfill theirs. You have no right to go out and to kill them. Instead, you need to do da'wah to them. Tomorrow they will accept Islam. Today, later on, they will accept Islam. The hadith, Ali radiallahu anhu was sent to Khaybar. When he was sent over the wall, he was told, Wallahi la an yahdi Allahu bika rajulan wahidan khayrun laka min humurin na'am. You are going to these people, they want to fight you and whatnot. Remember, still, if Allah guides one person through you, it is better for anything, that material item that this world has. Who are these? They are the enemies. If Allah uses you to guide one of the enemies, it's better for you. That's what he was told. So surely we can make an effort with the rest of the non-Muslimin who are here. I hope that answers the question. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us. And inshallah, we hope to return to Kano again and again by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. there is a situation where there are two brothers or two sisters or more, they are in conflict, having misunderstanding, but one party seeks reconciliation and mutual forgiveness, and the other party is not interested in that reconciliation or peace, what should be done? I think we need to bear in mind two things. One is, when we do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be patient. If there is some reconciliation or forgiveness, you need to keep on trying to ask it once or twice. Have a soft heart. Allah wants to watch you to see how long you are going to try for. Number one. Number two is, regarding the other party, maybe you can involve a third party who is respected by that second party, so that they can speak to them and communicate with them, to explain to them that, you know, I think it is in the best of your interest to forgive this person or to reconcile. The third thing is, sometimes a lecture of this nature, it can soften the heart. So don't lose hope totally, because if the second party one day happens to sit and listen to a lecture where they are told to soften the heart, they might soften the heart. Another interesting point is, if you leave your matters for the day of judgment, who knows? The one who thinks he is right might be wrong, and the one who thinks he is wrong might be right. So don't leave it for day of judgment. It is better to sort out your matter here, and Allah will have mercy on you. Also, what is a very great point of interest, when we forgive one another, Allah will forgive us. When you have a problem with someone and you forgive each other, you don't need to become best friends, but you just need to be people who are no longer enemies. So maybe I don't want to sit too much in their company, I don't want to be their friend, I don't want to perhaps interact or do business with them anymore, but I forgave them, they forgave me, and I will greet salamu alaykum as-salam, and I walk away, they walk away. There is no enmity and there is no deep friendship. That is also okay as a last resort. May Allah have mercy on us. The last question, or the second question, and we don't really have time for more, but I've asked the brothers or sisters to write their email addresses. If I get a chance, I might send you an email. It says here, if Islam preaches peace, why did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam go to war? That is a very good question. Because he was driven out of Mecca, and his properties were stolen, and his companions were literally driven out of their own homeland. So if, for example, the colonialist came and he drove the people out of their homes and homeland, what did we see? We saw a war in order to achieve peace. That's what we saw. So the Prophet ﷺ did not destroy, he was not destructive, he was not a killer, he did not do that, but he fought in order to get back the dignity and the honor that they had initially. When he had the power in Medina, then Allah instructed him to go back and to get what was taken from the Muhajirin. Who are the Muhajirin? The Muhajirin were the people of Mecca. Where were they from? They were wealthy. Some of them were wealthy. All their property was left behind in Mecca. It was stolen by the people of Mecca. So Allah says, you can go back to get your property now. Those are like the wars of independence, when your country fought for independence from the colonialists. That war was justified. But we are talking of that which is unjust, for no reason. If you want to know why Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to war, well, he went to war for those reasons and a few other reasons. They were all legitimate. But today, there are people sporadically killing others randomly. They don't even know who they are. They just kill them randomly, and they are killing those who say the Shahada. They kill people who say Islam. They kill non-Muslims, yet those non-Muslims are not actually enemies of Islam. There is a very, very big difference. You need to know this. There are some who are not enemies of Islam. Those are the majority. They are just non-Muslims, and they happen to live in your country. They follow a different faith. They don't trample your toes. They fulfill your rights and you fulfill theirs. You have no right to go out and to kill them. Instead, you need to do da'wah to them. Tomorrow they will accept Islam. Today, later on, they will accept Islam. The hadith, Ali radiallahu anhu was sent to Khaybar. When he was sent over the wall, he was told, Wallahi la an yahdi Allahu bika rajulan wahidan khayrun laka min humurin na'am. You are going to these people, they want to fight you and whatnot. Remember, still, if Allah guides one person through you, it is better for anything that material item that this world has. Who are these? They are the enemies. If Allah uses you to guide one of the enemies, it's better for you. That's what he was told. So surely we can make an effort with the rest of the non-Muslimin who are here. I hope that answers the question. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us. And inshallah, we hope to return to Kano again and again by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.